Theme music for The Spot Report, courtesy of Pastor Casper McLeod and Renee Truax. Thank you, friends.
There's a spot for you over here.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another Spot Report. Joined today once again by my beautiful wife, Kathy. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Doing fine. We act like we haven't seen each other all day until now.
I know, right?
I guess that's just a formality when you do a podcast and do a show. It's, you know, welcome. Welcome your co-host or whatever the case might be. But anyway, the subject that we decided to discuss today is communication. And of course, that is such a broad and deep subject that we could go on and on and on. And we don't want to do that. We want to zero in on a couple of things related to communication. But before we do that, we want to announce the Go Therefore conference coming up in July on the 28th and 29th of July. That's a Friday and Saturday. And we are once again meeting at Harvest Revival Center in Brookville, Ohio. Pastor Neil Peterson there has welcomed us into his facility once again. We're blessed to be there. You can get information as far as the speakers. Well, let me just give a rundown of those speakers. Coach Dave will be with us again. He has been at every one of the Go Therefore, and we started this in 2017. The Lord has really, really just blessed us and used this in a mighty way. Pastor Nathan Branham will be with us. This is his first time at the Go Therefore conference. You're going to like Pastor Nathan a lot. He's the author of a book on dream interpretation. Fascinating research. Kenny C. will be with us again. Casper McLeod will be with us. Vicki Anderson, Ellie Marzulli, Tom Dunn, Sharon Gilbert, Derek Gilbert, Dr. Michael Lake, Dr. Greg Reed, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Randy Conway, David Hevner. And what a lineup that is. Very, very blessed and honored that these brothers and sisters would join us for Go Therefore. You can get register for the conference, friends, at gothereforeconference.com, gothereforeconference.com. There is a button there on the homepage, buy tickets. Live stream is available. If you can't make the trip to Dayton, it's worth the trip if you're anywhere close. In fact, we have people that fly in for this. If you're anywhere close, I would encourage you to get there in person. There's nothing like experiencing that fellowship and those hugs and those conversations in person. So gothereforeconference.com to register. Only $59. The hotel accommodations is the Best Western Northwest Dayton. That information is on the conference website as well. So there's that. So communication, dear, I hardly know where to start because there's so many places that we could launch into this. The communication style and the way that we relate to one another is pretty important. In fact, it's part of premarital counseling when I'm involved in that, and I think it is a good place to do that is to talk about communication. And you sent me a couple of links to some good articles that we wanted to kind of touch on and things that perhaps people should think about. Now, this is not just because I know a lot of people said, I've been married for 30 years. I don't need to hear this. Well, guess what? I think everybody would benefit from understanding how to communicate with one another. And I'll give you an example of this. I was sharing this with Kathy this morning. There are a couple of different ways that people communicate in our day. And especially I see this on social media, people are what are called emotional communicators. So they express their ideas, their thoughts, their reactions based on their emotions, based on their feelings, based on their interpretations and really their experience related to what's being said. If they've had negative or bad experiences and they read something from somebody, they are going to react or respond emotionally. So there is a grid, a lens through which they receive information and then their interpretation or response of that. So that's one primary way that people communicate. And again, I see that especially on social media. But then the other primary way, and I guess I'm a mixture of the two, dear, at least when we're communicating about subjects, it's nice that I can share my thoughts and feelings with you, and then they don't have to go any further than just you. And by the way, folks, we call that venting. We vent to one another so that it doesn't become necessary for us to vent to other people. That's a valuable characteristic to have in marriage. Kathy, I know you've got some thoughts on that. So what do you think about that whole subject of venting?
I think I'm a mixture of both. I think emotionally and the cognitive, I think that it depends sometimes on the subject, what makes me emotional versus makes me use logic and rationale. But I agree with you that there are times we tend to vent to each other about certain situations that happened. And we also know that we can keep it in this house, you know, behind the closed doors, and speak out our feelings and our thoughts on that. And then, you know, the Lord has really blessed us with the ability to communicate, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. We, when we say vent, we're talking about venting to one another. Yes. Not venting at one another.
Correct.
Because we've been married over 40 years now, and we don't do that. We don't treat each other like that. But we do kind of fall. There's an overlap in the emotional and the cognitive, and just by way of explanation, when I say a cognitive communication style, I'm talking about somebody who communicates based on fact, rationale, logic, rather than focusing on the situation. And this is, I see this in men a lot, not to the exclusion of all women, but primarily I see this in men. They're looking for solutions. When they have conversations, they're thinking, how am I going to fix this? What can I do? How can I offer a solution to this person I'm talking to? And you know what, guys? Here's something I've learned in marriage is sometimes your spouse is only looking for you to listen. You don't really need to offer your opinion, your perspective, your advice, your solution. And praise God for my wife, because she has gently informed me of that over the years, that I just want you to listen to me. Just listen to what I'm thinking, and I'm not asking you to fix anything. And she's always been very gentle in how she has done that, responded back to me. So that's a little bit of background on communication, dear. It's it's important to understand how we communicate with one another, and if we can understand that, and also see is this working for us? Are we communicating in a way that enables us to further communicate, or is the way that we communicate with one another really putting a hamper on that? So So I just wanted to bring that up, but there are very definitely areas that people need to discuss before they get married, and even after they're married. These are things that people can talk about. Kathy, you want to start us off with a couple that come to mind for you that people should pay attention to when it comes to communicating and being in a relationship and communicating either with your intended spouse or with your current spouse?
Well, for us personally, I think the number one focus needs to be, are they a born again Christian or not? Mm-hmm. Because if you're a born again Christian and you're dating someone that's not, in hopes that you will change them or you will lead them to the Lord, it's not a very good place to start. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I will not officiate a ceremony between a saved person and an unsaved person. In fact, I've met with couples before that were in that situation. One was born again, one was not. And I would talk to them about the necessity to be on the same page and serving the Lord, and how difficult that would be if they continued on, and just flat out told them that I would not participate in that ceremony. And while some were disappointed now, and the flip side of that, I've been able to share the gospel with a lady who was not saved, but wanted to marry this man who was, shared the gospel with her, and she received Christ. So there's a way to go about that. And, but that's very important. That's a good point that you raise, dear. But let's zero in then on some ways. When we talk about communication, sometimes people think only verbal communication, and that's not necessarily the case. I think one of the ways that we communicate is in our behaviors. I mean, that's where this phrase, this idiom we use in getting the cold shoulder. Well, that's not verbal. That's behavioral. And so, and my point is this, one of the things that's important in our marriages is treating one another the way that we wish to be treated. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. That is a very powerful principle when it comes to communicating. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Any thoughts on that, Kathy?
Well, do you remember a phrase that we used to use early on in our marriage when, you know, things weren't just quite right? You know, we didn't know really what it was, but do you remember that phrase we used to use?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it?
We're not hitting on all 8 cylinders.
Right. What does that mean?
Well, that means that it's the engine's hitting and missing. It's not purring. It's not humming. We're not traveling in comfort and peace. There's something that's like a pebble in our shoe.
Yes.
You know it's there. So what is it? And what that always led us to do was to take a moment and discuss, okay, what is it? What's going on here?
Right. But that leads to good communication as well. You know, there's something wrong. You're not sure what it is. You sit down and you talk about it and you discuss it and say, okay, well, this is this and that's that. If you keep those stones in your shoe, like you just said, and then tomorrow you get another stone in your shoe, well, now you have 2 stones in your shoe and it's a lot less comfortable to walk. And then the next day it might be another stone in your shoe. So it's best to get those little things that bother you or that, you know, seem to be of a concern to you out in the open so that your communication can continue, you know, don't you think?
Yeah. And sometimes people are going to find, if you will bring something up that's bothering you, you're going to find out that your spouse, if it was something that was said, didn't intend for it to be received in the way that you received it, didn't mean what you thought it meant. And you can easily iron those things out, because those little pebbles, if you don't address them, you don't remove them, they can become big stinking boulders that are going to really prevent you from continuing in your marriage in peace and harmony. It'll not just be an annoyance, but it'll be an obstacle that you're going to have to remove in your communication and your relationship. So another thing, dear, that we want to highlight in this conversation is the absolute necessity to keep prayer at the heart of your relationship, at the heart of your marriage. And this applies to all people that are thinking of being married, newlyweds, people who have been married for 40 years. You have to keep prayer at the center of your marriage. We're instructed in the scriptures constantly to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly. And we should be doing that in our marriage, at the heart of our marriage, to constantly be in prayer, not just for one another, but with one another. It is imperative that husbands and wives spend time in prayer together. And in fact, it was, I think it was a couple of nights ago, we use a particular devotional, friends, in the evening. We use a different devotional for our morning, and we use a devotional for our evening. And in that day's devotional, it was talking about prayer. And the fact that prayer is actually surrendering ourselves for a number of different reasons, but surrendering ourselves to the one who is really in charge of our lives, and asking him to guide us in all activities, all thoughts, all words. And that certainly has a place in the center of our marriages. I can tell you something, you can't stay mad at somebody when you're holding their hands and praying with them and for your marriage. And I know that's a difficult thing for some people to even envision. They're in a situation where emotions have, you know, they're off the chain. And one of the spouse says, "Can we pray right now and extend your hands, hold hands and pray?" I know that's a near impossibility in some people's minds, but don't discount what the Lord will do in your life. Try it, put it to the test. And it may take a time or two, but what's going to happen is offering to pray, being willing to pray, is going to diffuse situations faster than anything else that I can think of. So, prayer. Keep prayer at the center of your marriage. That's also signaling that you are willing to forgive, to ask for forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." One of the barriers to a blessed marriage, dear, that I have witnessed over the years, is an unwillingness on some people's part to forgive a spouse for something. They want to hold it over their head. They want to use it as a club. They want to file it away for future use, to bring it out and use it as leverage. That's not forgiveness, folks. And that isn't how marriage is supposed to work. We're not supposed to treat each other like that. So if you keep prayer at the center, and even if you experience your spouse not wanting to pray in that moment because of the heat of the moment, persist in that. And I think you'll see a breakthrough in that, if you'll continue to seek prayer and ask the Lord to intervene. So asking for, expecting, offering forgiveness is also going to mean that you have to listen to what your spouse is saying and not. Here's an illustration, dear. And because we've been in counseling situations before over the years, you're familiar with this, but one of the communication styles, and this is somewhat related to the cognitive communicator that wants to use facts and rationale and logic and those kind of things, is what I call the lawyer. So when your spouse is offering his or her perspective on the situation that you're discussing, it is really incumbent upon you that you listen. And I mean, listen to what's being said. Watch for body language, because I'm telling you, communication is both verbal and nonverbal. There's body language associated, and you can read people and their true feelings and emotions if you watch their body language as well as what they're saying. So it's important for us to really be listening and observing if you're truly trying to have an honest communication. So the lawyer approach is that while your spouse is talking, you're already formulating your response. You're already creating a list of why that's wrong, this is wrong, that's not accurate, that's not the truth. And so if you're doing that, you're not really listening. You're not really listening at all. And you're smiling, dear. So I know you've got some thoughts on that. What are they?
I want to say that men would have more of that tendency to do that, but I know a lot of women that do that as well. Take time to listen. Take that time. If your spouse has something to say to you, it's important to them. And it's important that you take that time to listen and not wait and formulate a response to what you think they're saying. Hear them out. Hear them out and let them say what they got to say. And then together work on the solution.
Yeah. Before we wrap up this episode of the Spot Report, I also want to talk about the need to compromise in marriage. And that doesn't mean everything is subject to compromise, but the flip side of that is you can't, as a spouse, if this is your practice, just flat out refuse to entertain an idea to contemplate whether something is feasible or doable. You can't just say, nope, I ain't doing that. Nope, I ain't talking about that. Nope, we're not doing that. That's not communication. That's actually shutting down communication. You need to be able to share reasons why you don't think that's an appropriate path to take, or reasons why you don't think that should happen, and not just shut it down. And this, here's a message for guys. If your wife is in disagreement over something, you don't just pull out the trump card and say, well, I'm the husband, I'm the head of this house, and we're going to do it anyway. I don't advise that. In nearly any case, I don't advise that. I advise that you continue to pray about it. You continue to talk to your spouse about it. You don't just go make a decision, especially important decisions that have financial, economic repercussions. You don't just rush out there and decide you're going to do something and then more or less just shut your spouse off from input. That is a recipe for a huge problem in the moment and will probably be a huge problem down the road someplace. So talk through things and see if there's a spot in that graph where you can come to a solution, a compromise. This is all part and parcel, folks, of good communication. Now, before we end this episode, thank you, Lord, for this word of knowledge. This has direct bearing and relationship in the body of Christ and how we communicate with one another. So think about this. And I'm not calling people hypocrites, so don't hear me say that. But I know that people treat one another better in public, in the ecclesia building, the building that the ecclesia meets in, or the place the ecclesia meets in. We treat people very nice with a smile, whether we actually feel like doing that or not. We do. And sometimes we fall way, way short of that in how we communicate and talk to our wives or our children and brethren. That ought not to be the case. We should be just as genuine with our family as we want people to believe we are when we meet as the ecclesia. In fact, I would suggest that we consider treating our family even better, showing even more patience, showing even more love. I'll give you the final word, dear.
Oh, man. I've heard many people say, you know, that relationships are very strained on their way to church. And then when they get to church, they act totally different. And you have to remember, especially if you're born again believers, that this is your sister or your brother in Christ. And how would God want you to treat that person? Yes, Mike is my husband, but he's also my brother in Christ. And I would never do anything to jeopardize that relationship or cause him to stumble. And the same goes, I believe that he feels for me. He's not going to do anything that's going to make me stumble, cause me to fall in my walk, treat me in any way that he wouldn't treat a sister at church. And I appreciate that very much. I think there's so many different ways you could go with communication here, you know? Like you said, it could be emotional, it could be based on fact. But a lot of times, sometimes I feel like the facts are really harsh. You know, and there has to be a little bit of emotion in there as well to kind of smooth off those rough edges, because we recently had a situation here at the house where I wanted to do something and I went full speed ahead and Mike hesitated about it, but he didn't tell me that he was hesitant about it. He let me do what he thought I wanted to do. And now we're looking at it. It's like, man, why did you let me do that? Because now we have more work to do to undo what I've charged full speed ahead. So, you know, there's always that communication that needs to be refined.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you probably didn't want to hurt my feelings or say, no, I don't think we should do this, when in reality, it probably would have saved us money and time and backaches. Right.
So it involves some labor is what Kathy just said, but. You know, even after 40 years of marriage, it's a learning, right?
Yes, sir, it is. It surely is. So take that to heart, folks. Yeah. After 40 years, there's still going to be some rough edges, but God is good.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call that a rough edge.
No.
No.
No. Not at all. You love me anyway, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right.
Hey, friends, that's it for today. Appreciate you sharing this conversation, this spot report, with your friends and on your platforms. And we will see you next time with another conversation that's important for the ecclesia to help them in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to be able to talk plainly and frankly in a way that is saturated in love, that takes into account our feelings and emotions, but is based on truth, on reality, on facts, logic, rationale. He gave us all of those characteristics for a reason. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time here on The Spot Report.